So it can't follow two objectives simultaneously. So therefore, the individual has to be able to utilize his weak abilities by switching from one to another. He has to go up and back constantly and at every point. See? So actually, the difference between the first member and the second one is the first one is insofar as the situation is concerned. Those things which draw him, which cause him to be corrupting influences, right, or his inherent nature. And the second one is insofar as the very functioning is concerned. His very functioning is concerned. And he must be able to overcome the shortcomings of his nature, which is constructed in a way that he can't actually function at one time simultaneously. He can't set himself to two goals simultaneously. So he has to operate intermittently. He has to operate intermittently. That's the second thing.
Personal
limitation as far as the justice is concerned. One is limitation as far as the performance is concerned. You see, there's two things over here. One is insofar as a person is capable of making a decision. So there are a lot of things that influence you. So your decision can't be just. How does a person arrive at a decision? By investigating. By investigation. So the second member says that human investigation itself is very limited. Human investigation itself is very limited. Because if you investigate and you have two objectives, so immediately you have a problem. Right? Immediately have a problem. It's like, it seems to be an inherent problem. An inherent problem. Of course, it has to do with human emotions, because you're liable to slip if you forget this and,
right.
What the member is saying is that a person is corrupt in two ways. In terms of arriving at an absolute justice. One way is he's corrupt because he's subject to influence. The second way is his process of investigation inherently limited. It's like the Heisenberg theory.
Is that because of
investigate enough? Either his goal for keeping quiet will prevent him from investigating enough, or else he'll give away some evidence. Once he gives it away, that's the end of the, then there's no more investigation. You see? Theory that when you perform experiments in science, the very experimentation itself, you see, changes the phenomena. So you never really know what the phenomena you're receiving, the feedback from the phenomena, whether it's because of the way that the thing really is, or it's because of your process of investigation. Same thing over here. Because the uncertainty principle. Same thing over here. Because of the way you question the witness, so the witness discovers something. Now he changes, and therefore your very process of investigation has defeated itself. See? The main idea is a person, insofar as a person is a dyin, a person should be aware that he's a very poor dyin. For two reasons. One is because he's a subject to influence. Two, he's a very poor investigator. It certainly has to do with generally judging another person. Right? And in order to investigate, many times you have to have dual goals. And once you have dual goals, you have problems already. Limited. Universally, to man as an investigator. Okay. All the Chazal and Sanhedrin, all the Chazal about the Dayan. A Dayan should look as if, the Gemara says, a Dayan should consider himself as if there's a sharp-edged sword right at his throat. See? And Gehenna is on one side. Gehenna Pesuchel HaMitachta. All kinds of descriptions. From all the Chazal, you see one thing. That the only hope for a person to ever approach any type of objectivity when he's judging another human being is if he has a full realization of how inadequate he is. That's all those Chazal. Man is a separate individual. There is man b'taras dayan. Man b'taras dayan has to have a separate code of ethics. It's instead of speaking about Adam B'Teres Dayan, Adam B'Teres Dayan. That was a pshat, and there's two members. Man, insofar as he functions as a Dayan. Okay, now we're up to good. Dayan, keep it all my hand. Shmaya Eimer. Ey, Eri, Vesa Malacha. It's no as Rabbonis. Well, this Vada Lerush. Ehu Vesa Malacha. Person should love work. Let's look at Rashi's pshat first. Rashi says, "Kid Amar Ma," like the Gemara says, "Pshat Nevelta B'Shuka, V'Loi Teima Gavra Rabano." And the Gemara says, "Pshat Nevelta B'Shuka, V'Al Tzarach L'Bris." Gemara says, "Ehu Vasam Lacha." Rashi says, "The Gemara says, "Pshat Nevelta B'Shuka, V'Lo Somar Gavra Rabano." He shouldn't say that I'm a great person. How could I, in those days, the animals used to die in the street. The animal would die in the street, so everybody would leave it. Dead animal. So Gemara says that you should take out your knife and cut off the hide and sell the hide. Even though you're standing in public, everybody's walking by, they see you doing such low, not only that it's menial, but it's indicative of the fact that you are not successful. You're a total failure in terms of your pranasa, in terms of making a living. Still, it shouldn't bother you, shouldn't disturb you. But you should rather do that than have to. You should rather do that, okay, and then have to take money from tzedakah. That's what the Gemara says. What's that? Rashi says, now what is the? That's the right thing to do. And Rashi says, what is the emotion that stands in the way of doing that? Rashi says, "Below some, I gave a rabbana." You shouldn't say I'm an important person. How could I do something like this? Yeah. The benefits of it. Rashi says, "Shemitech shu torah racham ezaynoisav la yovel de listus." Funny way of putting it. Rashi says that since he's so involved trying to earn his livelihood, he will not steal. Okay? Ve'ina mesparnes mitech kupa shel tzedakah. And the man doesn't subsist from tzedakah. In other words, he has a choice. He doesn't make a living, so he can do one of two things. Either he will be a thief, listus. And listus, by the way, doesn't mean necessarily go hold somebody up. It means to do something crooked, do something illegal. That's listus. And also, or else, the other choice is if he's not the type of person to rob or steal, so then he will have to take charity, live off charity. Also no good. The Yom of Marichim, and his days are lengthened. Shenemar v'seinei matanais yichya. Because it says a person who hates presents will live. Vishaninu yigia kapecha kisechel, and we learnt that the pasuk says yigia kapecha kisechel, that ashrecha v'tevla, a person who supports himself by the work of his hands is very good. Ashrecha v'tevla. This is most beneficial for him. Okay. A lot of chazal have very menial jobs. Yosef Ayamoylech Eitzim. It's the Rambam paragraph V. That's in Hey. Mishnah Hey. Paragraph V. It's on Daf Yud Aleph in our system over here, the way the text is looked at. He was very happy. He says that malacha is a very great thing. You see, it makes a person, makes him physically warm. It's good. Through working with his body physically. When he used to carry the heavy wood, and his body would become warm, and he was very praised that very much, was very happy with that. And Okay? Mashetz lab malas astakus. Alright?
What's that?
Very happy that he was very happy with what he had because of what God gave him in terms of his perfection with the area of satisfaction. Midas astakus is a big thing. That especially the medieval philosophers talk a lot about it. Midas astakus. A person should have the quality of being satisfied, being happy, contentedness. So he used to carry the wood from one place to another. He was very content. Not only was he content, but he was mishabeach. He praised God for the fact that he gave him the opportunity to work, because work is good. It makes the body physically feel good. A person has a workout. And they feel good. A certain good feeling if they work out. Okay. But a lot of Chazal had menial work. It didn't bother them. It disturbed them.
Yep.
There was a big dayan in Eretz Yisrael. And he used to... His job was to pull water out of a well with a... to take the water out of the well with a bucket. Rope and bucket. He used to pull the water out of the well. So they came to ask him if he could paskin a shayla for them. So he said that I could paskin a shayla. He says we can open the court, provided you can get somebody to take my place and pull the water out of the well. And brilliant geniuses, and great minds, Talmidei Chacham, who didn't care. It didn't disturb them if they had to go do menial labor. Interesting Chazal. They had a different idea of perfection. They didn't have the Jewish mother, my son, the doctor syndrome. It's an interesting thing. I think that philosophy is very prevalent among Jews. It's an interesting thing, but you see it's very prevalent among Jews. Among them, you don't see it so much.
Again.
Work is demeaning. That work is considered, physical labor is considered demeaning. And nobody would, prestige. So prestige in terms of work. Prestige is very important to people, especially Jewish people. You see, Chazal totally negated that whole concept. Totally negated the whole concept. Yes. The memra really. What is the essence of the memra? Yeah. In this Chazal is. Anyway. Chazal is that most people are guided by, in terms of good and evil. See, what does Rashi say? He says will become a thief. Which means that a person will resort to stealing rather than do something which lacks prestige for him. See? Why is that so, really? Stealing is an evil. The answer is that most people, their concept of good and evil is really based upon what other people think. That's the primary consideration. Ordinarily he wouldn't steal if he was a thief. So he'd be a thief to begin with. It doesn't say the person is a thief. It says the person is a good man, but the only thing is that he won't have any funds, he won't be able to support himself, so he'll have to resort to stealing. Right? Now, why should a person like that resort to stealing? I mean, if he's inherently not a bad person, and you're not talking about a person as a Russia. The answer is that this person is motivated essentially by what people think. See, society becomes the norm, the way society looks at things. And his whole concept of good and evil is based upon how society looks at good and evil. So therefore, he can't do something which is demeaning. But it's like he feels if society, if everybody looks down at him as a nothing, so what value does his life have? He really considers himself to be nothing. A man cannot extricate himself from the value system of society. He's not living in reality, in actuality. So since everybody looks down upon this, so he can't do it. I mean, it's disturbing to him. Makes him unhappy. How can he do something everybody looks down upon?
friends, everyone, and look at him like a nothing. An absolute failure. Because you know society judges a person by what his profession is. That's the way society judges a person. You meet somebody and say, what are you doing? Means how are you supporting yourself these days. Doesn't mean how many hours a day you spend learning. You know, it means how, what are you doing? Are you a doctor? You're a lawyer? Say, you say that you're a professional, so you have very nice. But if you say you're working in the post office, so the person, you know, he says, all right, won't say anything openly to your face, but we'll make a short conversation and goodbye. That's it. Last time you hear him.
What?
People estimate and evaluate another individual's worth by their profession. Or not necessarily a profession, or if a person has a lot of money. That's also, that doesn't seem to matter how he got it. But as long as he has man of means, that's already inherently considered a respectable thing. But people evaluate an individual by virtue of their livelihood. That's the standard. That's the standard of society. Like this, that a man finds himself in a situation where society will totally frown upon or devaluate what he is, right? So the person can't tolerate that pain. He can't tolerate the pain of being looked upon as a lowly individual by society. So he must avoid a certain action, that action which will result in him being viewed as a nothing. He has to avoid that. His ego can't tolerate it. So what happens is that time goes by and he doesn't have any work. He has to resort to stealing. He's forced to. Eventually he's forced to. At first he might not even think that he would do that, you see. Because at first he might not even think he would do it. But slowly, little by little, as the situation, as the needs become greater, and a person can't survive that way. I mean, it could take sometimes years. But after a while, I mean, a person can't take living without having the means to support himself. So finally, a little bit of doing something which is a little bit illegal gains appeal to him. And eventually these things, like the Gemara says in Kedushin, that kivan she'avar adam avera is hitchula. When a person does an avera, so it becomes, at first it's a terrible thing, but he does it and it becomes heter. It becomes something which is a mutig. It was a hitchula sagabaydach, elanasa like a heter. And so far as his psychology is concerned, it's a heter. Why does the Gemara use the term hitchulo? Because hitchulo means that as far as his emotions are concerned, he feels towards this exactly as he does towards heter. That's what it means. See, it's hitchulo. It really becomes, in his framework, this is complete heter. There's no shemets, no... what? Apply in today's society also. Even though today there's no nevela b'shuk, but it's the same exact thing. As a matter of fact, I know of a case personally of somebody who has a chance to make a good living, but they don't want to be menial labor, so they suffer. They can't fastnish, they can't do it. So they suffer. They can't make ends meet. The family ruin their family life, and they're never happy, never satisfied in life, and they take it out on their wife, the kids, and wreck everybody, including themselves. I mean, this is what happens. Why? Because they're guided by one main consideration. What is the consideration? How do I look? How does the other fellow look at me? That's the important thing. How does society doesn't necessarily have to be a big society. Most people aren't involved in such big societies. But immediate friends. How do my friends look at me? Okay. Very important to an individual. Very important to a person.
The idea of
the world is created in a way that there are certain opportunities. There aren't that many opportunities. So sometimes you're up against a situation where you have a certain opportunity, and that opportunity involves something which is painful emotionally, because you can't tolerate the way you disrespect, the lack of respect of society, of people. So what happens is that this emotion can be so powerful that it totally removes the possibility of him functioning according to that the way that he can. And because of this, it's mevi'eli de listus. So eventually, left will lead to, what's the first word, lead to tremendous unhappiness. But eventually it'll lead to something where we'll get involved in doing something which is illegal, and then it'll be totally ruined. That's what Yad Gomorrah says, a safe ganef with Leah, that the ganef eventually is caught, and that's it. I mean, you have a lot of situations like that. So that's the that's what Chazal are saying. But Chazal, when they say Mevil de Listus, they're just saying the worst. That's the end of the road, Mevil de Listus. Before that, there's many, many difficulties and tragedies, personal tragedies, personal life. Chazal say, but you keep on going down the road, a normal person can't tolerate it. So eventually he has to do something. So he does something which is which makes him a ganef, ruins himself morally, ethically, and also eventually he could be ruined in terms of society also. But that's the nature of a person. See, the nature of a prayer takes a chance. See, the nature of a person is that his self-esteem is so important that he will avoid any situation which will totally lower his self-esteem. Even though eventually he'll be totally ruined, but he doesn't think about that. The person who lives emotionally can only see usually what's directly in front of him. He either sees the something that's immediately what he considers terrible, or something that's immediately he considers wonderful, and he runs after that. And that's the situation. He doesn't think of the future, because the emotions are very attached to the present, not to the future. Future really requires a mind. Mind that can try to present to itself what lies in the future. That takes seichel. Emotions are attached to the immediate, and that's what happens. Or else Rashi says, yeah. Or else Rashi gives another possibility, right? Rashi gives another possibility of tzedakah.
The person realizes.
You're right. If a person, the Rambam says, the Chazal say that if a person needs tzedakah, and he doesn't take tzedakah, then he's also a Russian. He's also wrong. But over here, we're talking about a person who doesn't need it, who can have a job. He can do something, it's something he can do. True, the job's not a respectable job, but he can do it. So he either has one of two choices, Rashi says. Either he will do something crooked, or else if it's impossible to do anything crooked, sometimes a person has very strong moral and ethical values, and he can't do it. So then, or he doesn't have the opportunity to be a thief. That also requires an opportunity. So his anus, he'll be mispanis mitach kupa shel tzedakah. Point. I mean, Rashi says it'll take from the kupa shel tzedakah. Kupa shel tzedakah is a public thing. So how come he's not? How come he's not ashamed to do that? To take from Kupa Shel Tzedakah. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Huh?
It's an interesting phenomenon. What? So apparently, a person would rather be mitzvah lebrius. You see, than be treated available shuk. Why? It's the same individual. Rather take the Kupah Shel Tzedakah than strip the Nevela in the Shuk. So the answer, I think, is right. Pshat is that when a person does something, that defines the individual. When a person does something, his work defines him. Now, if a person's taking it from Tzedakah, people could look at it, he's unemployed at present. He's unemployed. In other words, he doesn't have... Like obviously his business deals didn't work out, he's unemployed, so now he has to take from his daughter. But if he goes ahead and he actually is patient and available shuk, that shows that this is what he is. He's defined himself as such. I mean, you'll see for instance in cases that a businessman, things will go bad. Things will go bad and he'll lose his business. So he won't go when he loses his business and take a job. You see, it's too degrading for him to take a job. But what'll he do? He'll go and he'll borrow from his friends thousands of dollars. He'll go and borrow from his friends thousands of dollars without the intention of repaying them. Why? Because I'm really a great businessman. I'm not a worker. See? And right now, things are bad. Okay, so he goes and he borrows, he takes from others, and that's it. He gets better than paying them back. But he will not go and take a job, because a job defines the individual. He won't define himself as such an individual. See? That's the... Yeah. A melech. If a melech was a barber for one day, so he can't be a melech anymore. But, yeah, because society looks at him. I don't think Cooper Schultz Duck will pass a guy for a melech. But if he does menial labor, then he'll do a pasul for a melech. That's what it is. Tain hides, you can't be a melech anymore. Yeah. This is a businessman. His business went bad and he opened up a barber shop. He's not a businessman anymore. He's a barber. However, Silas is a barber. His brand is a barber. Looks down at him. Loses his money. It's true they look down at him because he lost his money, but he still is not as much as... Then, in other words, the man, his stature, of course, is lower because he doesn't have any money, but the gavra still retains some type of a connotation of a businessman. However, the moment he opens up a barber shop, that's the end of that. Now he's a barber. So if he stays at home and stays out of sight, maybe he'll make it again. He's bad times. Everybody understands things can go bad, things can get better. Right? But there is a halacha like that, that if a melech is a barber for a day, that's it, he's pasul. But he can't be a melech anymore. But why is that so? So why are Chazal giving this person advice? Apparently they don't expect him to become a melech. Yeah? But the pshat is that the truth is that a melech has different requirements. Even Sanhedrin have different requirements. But you see, the Gemara says that Sanhedrin, melech that has a melech, balikoma. By Sanhedrin, the guy is a dayan, he has to be balikoma, he has to be a tall person. What if he's tall, if he's short, what difference does it make? You know what I mean? Short dayan, or much is very short. So what's the psal? But the pshat is that the leaders of a klal have to work according to the way the society thinks and values. And the same values, those are the values then, those are the same values today. A person is tall, he's good looking, he commands respect, he walks into a room, people are awed by his presence. Of course, it's a beginning. Yeah, the begodim, the Gemara says, how a person dresses. The Gemara in Shabbos says, why is it that the Talmid HaChacham and Bavo dress very sharp? The Talmid HaChacham and Bavo used to dress with very sharp clothes. It doesn't say that they wore bekishes. It says they wore very sharp clothes. See? So, and the Gemara says, and the Talmid HaChacham in Eretz Yisrael wore regular garments like everybody else. Couldn't tell the difference between Talmid HaChacham and anybody else. So the Gemara says, why is that so? So the Gemara says, because in Bavo, where there were a lot of Amoratsim, they didn't know what a Talmid HaChacham was. So they had to wear sharp clothes in order to impress people. See? But in Eretz Yisrael, they knew Talmid Chacham by his essence, so they didn't judge him by his externals. So there was no need for it. So they didn't want to waste their money on clothes. They just wanted their money on clothes for. So that's the one. So you see, even a Talmid Chacham sometimes has to deal with externals. But that's a private Talmid Chacham. But a melech has to have the respect, has to command the respect of the populace. That's why it says, by shul, mishich mayu l'mayla gavol mikol ha'om. It is very tall. I heard somebody ask the kasha, what kind of a mayla is that? No, it's a mayla in malchus. A melech takes a haircut every day. Melech b'yaf yesech hazen ha'necha. Melech mastapa b'chal yom, takes a haircut every day. Every hair has to be in place. You see the melech, he's supposed to inspire awe in the people. That's because it's true. It's a false system. But Yadis is a system that works in reality, and the truth, the kernel of truth, is there in Yadis. You see, but we have to a lot of externals have to go into consideration in creating the perfect system. But you have to have a system that keeps going from generation to generation. You mentioned being rich. By a Kohen Gadol also had the same thing. A Kohen Gadol has to be the wealthiest of all the Kohanim. And Gemara says, just have the money. Not how, you see, it's not how he earned it. He has it. They all have to give it to him. So if he's a poor man, Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol is a poor man, all the Kohanim had to contribute to make him the wealthiest Kohen. See, a lot of, that's why a lot of people are vying for the position. Kohen Gadol. By a Kohen Gadol Me'echav. Gadol Me'echav means that he has a lot of money, so what if he has a lot of money? So what? The answer is, he commands respect. Kohen Gadol has to command. Why is it that a person is a Balmum? can't do Aveda. He could be the biggest tzaddik as a Baal Mom. What's wrong physically? We believe a person is physically imperfect, that there's a defect. There's a chas v'shalom. Gemara says that some of the greatest time were blind and crippled and deformed. There's nothing, the physical does not reflect the inner individual. So what's the answer? The answer is because the base of Mikdash has to be a place which inspires people.
The
base of Mikdash itself. That's right. The tallest building, even Yeshua, within Yeshua, is the tallest way. Yeah. All the things were to deal with the to affect the Haman. But, however, this has nothing to do with what the real, this does not distort the true ideal of perfection. There are certain things we have to use in order to reach people, in order to maintain ourselves in a societal situation. However, this is not really what real perfection is. So over here, we're talking about individual perfection, true perfection. In terms of true perfection, this emotion is false. It's based on nonsense. But most people who, since they don't gain any knowledge in their lives, they're affected by the way they're raised, and they assume the values of society, and they believe that this is true, and they believe in it, because they haven't really they haven't gone beyond the values of society, and they haven't gained any true knowledge. But a person who has gained true knowledge sees that this is all nonsense and lives according to reality. So therefore, Chazal say? What's the advice of Chazal? Leisema gav rabano, shouldn't say a great person, but pshat nevela b'shuk. What does it mean? What does the philosophy mean really? The philosophy really is, how does a person overcome this? How does a person overcome this problem, this emotion, that he's not respected in the eyes of the masses? I think this is probably the most driving force in society. I really don't think, even in the in the area of prestigious jobs, I mean, it's true that it's obvious. But even in the area of money-making, of wealth, I don't think people are really after wealth for money itself. A certain amount of money a person can spend, but beyond that, it becomes absurd already. But why? It's recognition of society. It's recognition of society. That's what people, that's why you have great philanthropists, and that's why you have... how much do you spend? 7 million? Right? But he spends it all in order to become governor. Why? Because governor is prestige. That's the main driving force. There's no question. That's the main driving force. So at any rate, Chazal are telling us that we should overcome this powerful driving force. Yeah. Plans to permanently be in tzedakah, because it says v'yomav marichin shenema v'sayin matanas yichya. We'll get back to Rashi in a minute. But there's one point I just want to make. What is the person? This is a very powerful emotion. As we say, it's the most powerful emotion in society. It's the most powerful emotion in society. So how does the person counter this? You see? I think that the story that the Rambam relates is a very good one. The story Rambam relates about the Yosef. See? Chazal's advice is that a person should put himself in the frame of mind of reality. And realistic. How could a person like Yosef, who is such a great Talmud Chacham, say, Gedola Malacha Shemachamem is Bailel? You know, I mean, so what? He got a little physically warm, so that is such a great thing. The answer is, because Rav Yosef lived in the world of true reality. You see? If a person would live in the world of true reality, he would appreciate so many more things in life. I mean, a little physical enjoyment that he has, that his body is warmed up from work, a little workout, a little exercise, makes you feel good. That's an enjoyment. Why shouldn't a person enjoy that? The answer is because the value system of society corrupts an individual and takes away that which is natural to him. You see? That's why you notice Chazal make a bracha, the brachas in Chazal on simple things. A person eats a fruit. And so what if he eats a fruit? It's a big deal. I mean, what's the bracha? I took a bite of food. The answer is because the reason why people don't enjoy what the simple things in life is because they're corrupted by the value system of society, which says that the only thing is if a person does something which we consider great. See, which is in line with the crazy emotions, but the simple enjoyments of life become lost. So Rav Yosef lived in the world of absolute reality, not the world of psychological reality. In the world of absolute reality, He wasn't concerned with what people think. That's false. These are all false notions. But in the world of reality, you see that when a person works, he feels good physically. This is a bracha. This is a bracha. It's Birkas Hashem. As a matter of fact, he was thankful to God that God created the world in a way that when man works, he has to work for a living, there's a reward there. He feels good. It's good for his health. So this is a great thing. A person who's living in the world of absolute reality can enjoy all the things that God gave him through the natural forces that God laid out for a person in which he functions and in which he operates. If he's not subject to the corrupting views and notions of society. Of course, if a person would like to be a great Talmud Chacham, looks at Rav Yosef like people are great Talmud Chacham, they wouldn't even consider this an enjoyment. What do you mean? I mean, they'd be so over-enthused with the fact that they're the great Rav Yosef, see? Because their value system would be corrupt. But Rav Yosef lives in the world of reality. In the world of reality, the small enjoyments, a person appreciates the small enjoyments also. He's thankful for them. That's Midas Astakbus. The person would live in a way, the same way as if he was the only one in the world. So if he was the only one in the world, that's the way he would react. The only reason why he doesn't react that way is because others exist who have false notions that impress him. But Chazal maintain a person should live in reality as if he's the only one. In that reality, you'll live in a different way, have a different value system. They have different appreciations. And there you'll have different fears. Not the fear of what society thinks about you, but of a fear if you have to resort to gezel, to a distortion of chok, to a corruption of the soul. That's what the person will really fear. That's what the mimer is. Okay, that's essentially the essence of it. That's how a person has to live. That's the frame of mind that's necessary in order for a person to be able to be pshat and available shuk. How could a person be pshat and available shuk? Difficult thing to do. Everybody's looking down at him. The answer is because he doesn't recognize anybody else. He's just living in the world of reality. What does the world of reality dictate? That he has needs. He has to make a living. He has to eat. So therefore, he has to do that which is necessary to eat. What else is there? And on the contrary, not only will he be able to do it, but he'll enjoy it in anything, any good thing, which any attending pleasure, he'll be able to enjoy. It's only if a person denigrates it that he can't see any good in it. He will not be able to enjoy the pleasure because he denigrates the activity. But according to the laws of reality, according to the laws of nature, there is nothing wrong with it. Say, on the contrary, this is the way a person is supposed to earn a living. So any value, any benefit he receives, he'll enjoy it. That's the mimer. Don't mean what we're saying from that other mimer. Because you see, it doesn't say, asei asam alacha. What does it say? Ehov asam alacha. What does ehov mean? It means a person should love it. How could he love it? How is it possible to love it? The answer is that he loves it because he loves the way God created nature, so that this is the way that he could earn his living. So he appreciates this. He enjoys it. He loves it. This is perfection for man. This is human perfection. The reason is we don't believe God does not curse anybody or God does not harm anybody. He doesn't give anybody a punishment, per se. Anything that God does for a person is only for his benefit. So if man has to work because of Adam Rishon is over. That was part of the Bria. But after the Bria, the way man's nature was fixed, work is something that's good for him. It's something that's good for him. He should love it. It's something which is good. According to my nature, this is something which is good for me, is beneficial for me, the means is that I earn my livelihood, and that's something that I should love. They see Chazal demand that it's not just the person should say a samalacha, but he should love it, he should be very, very happy, and be happy about the framework in which he finds himself. The reason why people aren't happy with their lives, and they're not happy with the way they are, is not because of the way God predestined man to live. It's because of the false notions that they absorb from society. That's the reason why they're unhappy. A person would really be straight, would be living according to reality, he'd love it. He'd have a samalach. Like the Rambam says in the Maariv Eluchim. The Rambam says God created the world in a way that a person can have a beautiful life. It doesn't really take that much work for a person to supply his needs. It doesn't take that much. He still has a good part of the day left where he can involve himself in thought and perfection and in the enjoyment of ideas and philosophy. I mean, the way God created the world was done with a cheshbon, the way that man can really have a good life. So you should appreciate the system that God created. That's the avos halacha. But the question that Irwin asked is, how does a person extricate himself from the values of a society? If a person can't be pshat in the Vavel Shuk, it's too painful for him. What does he do in that case? See, that's all. What would you answer?
That's true.
The first thing is, of course, he has to gain knowledge. He has to learn and understand the value system of society, that it's false, and he has to understand the true value system. That's the first step. And there are other things he could do also, like the Gemara says before, or the Rambam we quoted, that a person should be medabek b'chachomim. He should live among chachomim, so that he gets away from the false values of society. Harchek mishachin ra. He's boided atzma. He makes himself. He breaks his identity with the klal. Breaks his identity with the masses of individuals. Badad yeshev. What does Ram say? Badad yeshev. Right. So these are all these mechanisms that we mentioned are all means to achieving this goal. No question about it. There are a lot of ways that you have to use, a lot of methods you have to use in achieving the goal. That forms another part of Pirkei Avos also, the methods that a person should use. But Rabbi Meir is right. The first thing is intellectual recognition. That's the first step. Without that, you can't move. Once you have that, there are other methods that can be used also. Other methods that can be used also. Yep. Talmud Torah, yeah. Presents the system later. Take a while to get there. But the way the Rambam presents the system later, you'll see that it would seem that the Talmidei Chachamim in the times of Chazal did not have the same stature that they had among the Hamon that people think of in terms of today. Today it's a different, totally different thing. The Gemara says, the Rehuda says, when Tamli Chachamim and Ashkenazi Chachamim, the masses really had a pretty strong hatred for the Talmidei Chachamim. It wasn't, and the Talmid Chacham went about their business and just lived the way they believed was correct, without noticing any of the, without noticing the Hamon. They did not live according to the values of Hamon. Well, you see, anyway, what Talmid Chacham do you see today? You go out and chop wood. I mean, if I'm bringing wood from one place to another, you won't find it. You won't find anybody doing that. A person will go sell wood and bring up his truck and sell you a load of wood. Talmid Chacham wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. You see? You see, the society today does not have the same concept. Chazal didn't care about this. Chazal just lived their own way. Well, the Rambam explains later, if we get to the Rambam. They didn't take any money from the Hamon. It was a totally different system. They lived the life of perfection, and that was it. And those Amei Aretz who respect them, there were a lot of Amei Aretz that respect them. Yeah? Those who respect them went along, and those that didn't, they didn't care about it. That's it. What does that mean? Maybe a person will think to himself, look, it's not so bad to take from tzedakah. What's so terrible? I don't have to work. The only thing I have to do is go around every day and go to the kupa shel tzedakah and come home and have a nice good day. Have a good day. See? What's wrong with that? See? So Rashi says, no, Rashi says it's not good. He says, Yom of Marich and Shnem of Asayna Matanis Yechya. What's up, Shat? Presence will live. Yom of Ma'arichin. Yom of Ma'arichin. What does it mean? His days are lengthened. What's the pshat? I mean, Yom of Ma'arichin means his days are lengthened. What is the implication of his days being lengthened? That's one thing. Yes, that's true. And also there is an implication, I would say also there's an implication that a person has, when we say a person's days are lengthened, the Rambam a lot of times in the Mora says that if a person lives in a crazy way, he shortens his life. His lifespan. Lifespan. A person lives properly, his lifespan is lengthened. He lessens the stress, he lessens the problems. That's what the Rambam says in the Mora. My Rambam shows that people live in such a crazy way that they go after ridiculous fantasies, and then their days are shortened. They negate their health, and they live in a corrupt way, which is even corrupt physically. So the thing is, Yom of Ma'arichin means that the person over here a person who's misparnas mikupa shel tzedaka. Seinim atanis yichya, Rashi says. See, what does it mean, seinim atanis yichya? It means that he has to, he becomes a dependent personality. That's the pshat. He becomes, it's a different frame of mind. See, a person who earns his yichya kapecha kisechel ashrecha v'tevlach. What does it mean? It means the person earns his own living. So he could live according to, he has a sense of independence. He lives according to the way he wants. So anything that he does, you see, he doesn't have to account to anybody for whatever he does. He's not a dependent individual. See? Chazal held, living in a mentality that's dependent is harmful physically as well as spiritually. You see? That's what Chazal held. That's what Sanya Matanis Yichin means. Yichin means actual lifespan, right. That the way a person Chazal held, well, you see, a lot of Chazal indicate that. That a person's emotional well-being is responsible for his physical well-being also. A lot of Chazal say that. Yeah, a person aggravates himself, the Gemara says, his heart closes. The Gemara, a lot of Chazal like that. That affects his heart. Affects it. And it's true. Today, I mean, more than ever, they're proving it more than ever. What stress does to a person, you see? So Chazal held, if you want to have a good life, if you want to have a life in which a person can feel satisfied and he can relax and he can do things. Living a good life, according to Yadus, is really living a life that's beneficial physically also. It's beneficial physically also. Because since he has true values, he doesn't get caught up in the false stresses of society. All these ideas of stress in society are based on false systems. Why should a person be under stress? What's the stress? A person lives, he has his needs. Who in this society cannot have his needs? He has his needs. So he has his needs the rest of the time. He sets aside for learning, for perfection, for doing things that are enjoyable and beneficial to him. Why should he be under stress? See, the stress is from the false idea of society. Chazal say that one of the things that causes a person tremendous amount of stress is the person is an oyev matonis. He looks for other people's presence, so he develops a dependent type of mentality. A dependent type of mentality is constantly under stress because he constantly has to try to satisfy others. Everything he does, he has to take into consideration. What will this person think of this? What will that person think of that? And it becomes not just a practical thing. It becomes a psychological phenomenon in his mind. He's always thinking to himself, everything he does, he has to think, he has to consider. He doesn't feel the freedom and the individuality. He's always under a mental strain. See? This is harmful. It's not Yom of Marich. The Gemara says, Ashrecha leila mazeh, v'tevlach leila mabah. Beautiful phrase, wasn't it? Ashrecha v'tevlach, Ashrecha leila mazeh means you'll have a better life in this world. To do this, if you partake of perfection, it's Ashrecha. You'll have a better physical existence here. And v'tevlach leila mabah. Your ultimate existence will also be better. Why? Because you'll be a perfected individual. The life of Torah is a life which is beneficial both here and there. It's not the way people understand that here it's painful and over there you get rewarded. It's just the opposite. The person who lives the proper way is happier over here. That's why I said, that's the pshat of the pasuk. Yes. In either event, he's going to be a warped individual. Either because he has to resort to stealing, in which case he corrupts the soul, or else he has to become a dependent personality. Dependent personality is going to be one in which he's going to shorten his days, shorten his life. Either way. Confuse this chazal with a work ethic. This chazal is not saying that a person should work. If a person has money, he can afford to sit and learn Torah, chazal will be the last one to say they should go out to work. This is crazy. It's not a work ethic. Chazal are showing you how a person should handle a certain situation and how in a certain situation a certain perfection comes to the fore if you have it or if you don't. And in one way you can live a good life and the other way you could be destroyed. But if a person has the material means to support himself and sits and learns Torah, that's not going against the Chazal. On the contrary, that's the greatest thing. Ahava Samalacha is not a work ethic. Ahava Samalacha is a certain type of perfection that Chazal are pointing to. Gimel Hukas Tama Torah Alacha Yud. Kol HaMeisim Alibo. Sheyasag B'Torah V'lo Yasa Malacha the Yispanis Menat Zdaka, Hareza Chilas Hashem, Ubiza Satora, the Kova Mo'or Hadas, the Goram Ro La Atmo, the Nutl Chayev Mena Olam Abba. There's another instance where you see that Talmud Torah alone is not perfection. Talmud Torah is a very important ingredient in human perfection, but Talmud Torah per se is not perfection. So a person could sit and learn like this, become a great Talmud Chacham, sit and learn day and night, and he's mispanas mezadaka, he has no chavim on labo, he's mevazas a Torah, and he's gorim rola atzmo. What the Rosh mean by gorim rola atzmo? Bala mazeh. And yeah. The Yom that's what the Rambam says. Says there is a chilas Hashem, bizas a Torah, kava mar adas, and generally is destroying yadas. The gorim rola atzmo, he ruined his own personal life. The nachal chayav minol abba. Yeah. Individual has a mistaken notion in that he doesn't understand that Talmud Torah is an important ingredient in perfection. But that's not. The person can learn in a way that it is total imperfection also. It's possible for a person to do that. It's just an egoistic value of the Torah. That's all it is. A person who, even if he enjoys learning, it's just an egoistic value of Torah. So it means that he does not accept the reality that God created for him. That's what it means. Denies the reality that God created for him. God created a reality where a person has to work, and this is the reality that he's placed in, and he denies that reality. He said others are mechuyif to work for him. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. About the head of Malacha Yetzalo, what's left? Kapach tradition. Okay. Let me see it. Malacha Yetzalo, v'yigzo, v'yavo. Okay. So that's exactly what we described Rashi. Same thing, same shot as Rashi. There's no difference. Okay? Rabbeinu is different shot over here. A little different shot. Rabbeinu Yehuda says, "Ela v'sa melacha." He says, "Shalay tevatel adam imelacha, ki batala mevia sa adam lidei shimon, v'hi midas achuli, shenemar alav." What's the pasuk from Mishlei? All right. Otzel to me senu, yadav laasais, writes a loyma, kasheru margale varlas batala melacha meinu yadav. Yahergo will share the land. All right, Vayma Lav Aid. This is Rabbinic. Yichesh Jeish of Batlman Amalacha Shehi Menuchalai. Vehu Hepach. Ki Biagia Yiyala Menucha. An interesting psychological proposition Rabbinian has. Ki Mitnei Achoyreth Yanuach Viyama Bevesev Layachresh. Okay? All right. Avalach. He says a person thinks that if he avoids work, he's going to have enjoyment. He'll have a life of leisure. So it sounds good. So Rabbeinu Yehuda says, no, it's not so. He says, Chazal say, Batola mevil deshimum. When a person is doing nothing, so this leads to destruction. And he says that Ein Odom Masig L'menucha Ach B'Yitchila. The only time a person can enjoy relaxation is only if he works first. In other words, Rabbeinu Yehuda says like this, that there is no such thing as a positive enjoyment of relaxation. An interesting thing. There's no such thing as a positive enjoyment of relaxation. See? The relaxation is the absence of pain. And if you don't have the pain, then you do not have the relaxation. If a person will just want to relax, so he will find that he's going to be very unhappy. And his mevil deshimum will lead to mentally destructive, depressive. It's depressive mentally. And this is something that Aristotle also says the same thing. That a person's happiness, human happiness, has to be an activity. Odom la'omol yevulad. A person was created for work. His nature is that the only time he can enjoy himself is when he's involved in doing something positive. But a person many times makes a mistake because he doesn't understand the nature of man, and he just goes according to the way he senses certain reactions in himself. Like a person will work, but that's the retirement fantasy. A person's working all the time, so he thinks he can't wait till he retires. Why? Because the only thing he has in his mind is if he can get away from the pain of this work, it'd be terrific. Then he goes out to retire, and after a month of fishing, he finds he's bored to death. He has nothing else to do. You see? What happened? What happened is that he was fooled by a mechanism of his mind. The mechanism of the mind that fooled him was that at the time that a person is in a painful situation, he attaches, his pleasure principle attaches itself to the nearest thought of pleasure, that situation of pleasure. That's what it attaches itself to. And what the Rabbeinu says is like this, that if the person makes a mistake because he attaches himself to that situation, that he anticipates a pleasure in that situation, and he glamorizes that situation to the point where he maintains this is the absolute good, and he starts creating a value system out of an emotional reaction. The truth of the matter, in this case, to the pain. Truth of the matter is that the person is didn't really analyze the situation. It doesn't come from an analysis and a knowledge of man. It's just a reaction. Now, such things don't really work because a person is more complex than that. And a person can't just go by his feelings, but he has to analyze the nature of man. Arbaniana says the nature of man is that happiness must involve an activity, an exertion of energy. Relaxation is a cessation in an exertion. A cessation of exertion will never lead a person to happiness, leads to shimum. Just like you see, that's the situation where people retire. Retirement is really nonsense. That's why you'll see, as a matter of fact, you'll see most people who are businessmen and are men of great means and wealth, the average person always wonders, why is this person going to work? Why doesn't he, if I had his money, boy, I'd be going here, going there, going there. The answer is that person went to these places. They found after a while that the Batala Mevel Deshima, they're not too satisfied with that. It's nice to go around the world. It goes around the once, I mean, twice, sometimes you do it. How many people keep on going and going? You don't know anybody like that. The answer is because that's Batala. It's Batala. The first time, it's attractive. Because the first time, there are things that capture your interest. If they capture your interest, then there is an exertion, a positive exertion of energy, you see? But these things don't really lend themselves to so much exertion of energy, so much enjoyment. The only reason the person thinks that they're so enjoyable is because in his present state, he's convinced that he would love to do that right now. Tomorrow, if you gave him the money, what would he do? He'd run over there, you see? So he thinks, so therefore he glamorizes that situation and convinces himself, if I had the money, I'd do that all the time. But it's nonsense because he's not really analyzing the situation. The only reason he enjoyed it now is because the change, first of all, the change from his present state, the release of pain from his present exertion, he'd enjoy, and he also would enjoy certain positive aspects because it's new to him. But after he did it a few times, he'd find that the benefit of the change of state is gone, because he doesn't have it anymore, and there isn't that much there, really, to attract his interest for such a long time. And what would happen is that it would be mevel deshimun. Mevel deshimun. It would lead to a depression, because then he'd say, now I'm here, what do I have? Nothing. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah says that elev esamlocha means that a person should not be fooled by this emotion, but he should love malacha. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, does not mean work. It's a totally different shot over here. It doesn't mean work at all. Malacha means energetic activity. That's what malacha means, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. It means a person should try to find in his search for happiness, should search for his happiness in expending energy, something which involves an expenditure of energy. And he shouldn't be fooled into thinking that relaxation is inherently enjoyable, because relaxation isn't. And if he does, he's going to find that he's going to become very very disappointed and disillusioned. See? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a totally different shot. Also a good shot. Okay. Stop it. Yeah. It says, what Rabbeinu Yonah says, we took up last week, Aristotle says the same thing. Aristotle says that happiness is an activity. Happiness is an activity. So, relaxation really cannot be happiness, because relaxation is not an activity. Okay. At any rate, let's get back to I wanted to mention with regard to just to clarify a little further, with Elvis and Malacha, the way Rashi learned. The way Rashi learned was that Seyda Matanis Yichya, right? So the idea that Chazal was saying was that Chazal recognized a very important psychological phenomenon.
And that is, Rashi says, that, Rashi says, Veinem ispanis mitach kupa shal tzedakah v'yamav marichin shenemav asenem atanas yichya. V'shaninu yegiyah kepecha kisecha v'ashrecha v'tov lach. Right? So what's the pshat? So he said, it means v'ashrecha v'tov lach, ashrecha v'olam hazeh. So Chazal recognized a very important phenomenon, namely that in an individual's psyche can be determined by certain situations. You see, in the human mind, there are different complexes, and certain external situations will bring to the fore certain complexes that exist in the mind. Now, one of those complexes that exist in the human mind is the situation, the mental situation, the mentality of dependency. Because dependency is a stage that a person goes through in childhood, where he's dependent upon the parents. And Chazal held that certain situations will bring out that dependency state and will create a totally dependent individual, which is not good, which means that he remains in an infantile state. He's not mature. So therefore, somebody who's mispanes me kupa shel tzedakah, or who earns a living, that he wouldn't call earn a living, but whose livelihood is attained by gifts from others, becomes a dependent, a mentally dependent. That really is the psul of avdus. Or the pasuk says that if a person is a slave, a Jewish slave, of course, doesn't the word slave isn't really appropriate. If a person is an eved ivri, so for 6 years, and then he wants to continue, so the pasuk says that you have to make a hole in his ear. Why is the mitzvah to make a hole in his ear? Because it says ozen sheshoma al harsinai libnei Yisrael avadim. The ear that heard on Mount Sinai that the Jews are slaves to me, and this individual went and made himself another master. The Gemara says so. That's why they do ritzia through the ear, in order to demonstrate that he's not listening to the he's not abiding by the fundamental principle of Har Sinai. What does it mean? I mean, a lot of mitzvahs were given on Har Sinai. It means that when it says Liban Yisrael Avadim, it means that a person should relate only to God. His dependency should be only on God. That's the only dependency. But an individual whose mental framework is such that he feels dependent upon others for sustenance and for a livelihood is operating in an infantile state. You see, he's operating in infantile. His frame of mind is that of an infantile state of a dependency, which means he can't really relate to God properly. It inhibits his relationship with God because he becomes, his dependency attaches itself to man. So that frame of mind, that complex, that complex which every individual has because of the fact that they went through that stage at one time in their lives, had to have gone through that stage, that complex should not be reawakened. A person has to become mature, and he has to be able to remove himself from that complex and recognize that the only real dependency is God. See? One second. You know what? 6 years, because that means he couldn't. That means that he couldn't. He couldn't help himself. He was machul bezna or mech atzmai machachicha. But if he continues it willfully after 6 years, then you see that he's under this mental framework. Now, what is the? How does a person mature? What is the maturity? I want you to know the maturity. Situation, really. The mature situation can also have immaturity in it. If it's not done properly. Because over here, talking about Elvis and Lacha. What does Elvis and Lacha mean? Elvis and Lacha doesn't mean a person goes home and is mispal to Hashem, you know, they have panasa, and he, and then that's it. He relies on God. That's not relying on God. That's a total fool. See? Why is it a total fool? Because that's just, that again is carrying out the dependency, the same exact emotional dependency, except he's relating it to God. What is the mature idea? The mature idea is Elvis Amalacha, which means that he recognizes that God created man in a certain way and put him in a certain situation, a rational situation, where he has to do malacha in order to support himself. Not a fanatical idea. So it has to be all rational. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis. And the world was created and set up in such a way that he has to go to work, he has to have a job and earn money in order to support himself. And the Boteach, the Boteach Bashem, is the fact that that this is considered Boteach Bashem. You see? Boteach Bashem. Boteach Bashem means that he recognizes that this is given to him from God, this manner of living. And on the contrary, he has Avas Hashem in that he's partaking of the system that God created and gave for him. You see, and presented to him. And that system is Malacha. See? And that relates him. On the contrary, he has Avos Hashem in what he does, and that's what the Gemara. That's the Gemara story of the Gemara, where the Tana would carry the wood from one place to another, and he'd say that Gedolah Malach Hashem Achanan Es Balah. He's very content, very happy. Look what a wonderful situation God made for man. That you do work in order to earn a living, and as you do it, your body is warm, it's healthy, something which makes you feel good. He's very happy with the situation. So really, the mature situation where a person relates to God in the real way is where he relates to God through reality, through the reality that God gave him, and he feels very close to God because he's partaking of that reality, not because of some fantastic idea that God's going to perform a miracle that's going to save him or give him a lot of money. That again is the same dependent mentality. You see, that's why Ervas or Malacha is that's what Boteach Bashem means. And the Rambam says, Rambam is the same thing at the end of Zuchiyah Matana. Rambam says, HaTzadikim HaGemurim V'Anshei Maisa, the Rambam says, that means people on the highest level, Lo Yikablu Matana Me'odam, they would not accept a gift from any person. Ela Botchem B'Hashem Baruch Shemo Lo B'Nedivim, they rely upon God, not upon people who give gifts. See? V'Areinem Arsoni Matanas Yechiyah, he who hates presence will live. See. So what's the pshat? What's the Botchem Bashem? Botchem Bashem means, what does it mean Botchem Bashem? Baruch Shmo, lo b'nedivim. Why, the man has, on the contrary, he has a lot of betachin that the right nediv is going to come along and give him money. I mean, that's his betachin. Right? What's wrong with that? Right? Well, why is it a tata de sasri? On the contrary, we see a lot of times people become even more religious when something like that happens. You know? They say, wow, look, I was misfollowed. Somebody came to the door and gave me a big amount of money. So you see how God's helping me? B'tachem Hashem, it's even greater. Why isn't that B'tachem Hashem? The answer is that's not B'tachem Hashem because that partakes of the mentality, the infantile mentality. You see? That type of relationship is the infantile mentality, where he's awaiting somebody else to support him. That's exactly, he's returning back to the infantile state of childhood. You see? Botchem Bashem means that that what they do is these are people who are on the on a high level, on the highest level. So they aren't in that dependent framework. But on the contrary, they recognize the reality that God presented to them, created for them, and they very happy to partake of it. And that's the real Botchem Bashem. Let's do a book from Hashem. It's a different story. Because an Ani is an interesting passage about an Ani. It says that that a Loig L'Rosh Cheref Oseo. What does it mean? Loig L'Rosh Cheref Oseo. It means he who makes fun of a poor person is Cheref Oseo. He's disgracing the maker of the ani. So the maker of the ani. Now what's the pshat, really? What does it mean, cheref oseyo? He's disgracing the maker of the ani. What is bothering the apostle? What do you mean? I mean, the thing is, I mean, he's saying that it should say, oseyo means, the word oseyo means, the one who created the ani. See?
should have said, it shouldn't have said Pharaoh Sayer, the one who created the onion. It should have said the one who put the onion in this situation. You know what I mean? Oseo means the one that made his essence, as far as his essence, not to put him in the situation. You know? I think of child like this. The definition, what is an ani? An ani really is a lo yitzlach. What is an ani? Lo yechdel evi ani kev arts. You know, really a person, any capable individual, can earn a livelihood. Why does he have to be an ani? He has capabilities. But there are certain people who have severe psychological impediments. And they can't do it. He's a lo yitzlach. Can't do it. So we are mechuyev, we're obligated to support such an individual. You see? And cheref aseihu means that's the way, if you make fun of the ani, what you're doing is really you're making fun of God, because he created man in such a way that this is the way it is, that some people have find themselves in that mental framework and they can't support themselves. Lo yitzlach, he can't support himself. You have a chiyuv to support him, otherwise it's cheref aseihu. It refers to his essence. Yeah, it's a different thing. But here we're talking about a person who has the option to earn a livelihood and doesn't do it. See, Chazal say is he's willfully returning to an infantile state. Could be the ani is also in that state. I mean, that's not our business. We are mechuyev to support an ani. Not our business to start questioning about his bechira and what he can do, what he can't do. If he's capable, if he's incapable, a man is poor, you have to support him. You have no right to pass judgment on him. Yeah. And if you do, the Gemara says, so then you're passing judgment on God. Because God created the human psyche in such a way that certain individuals will have these psychological impediments. That's the way it is. And he can't help him. Can't help himself. That's an ani. An ani is a person who just can't do lo yitzlach, can't do it. See? So that person you have to support. Okay. The first was Avos Melacha. The second one is Snelus or Abonus. What is Snelus or Abonus? So Rashi says, Lefisha Mekaveres is Baleha. It buries those who partake of it. Kedam Amar, Neimar Meis Yosef Kedam Echov. Why did Yosef die before his brothers? And they should not Gatzma Rabbanus, because he was a person who partook of Rabbanus. What is Rabbanus? What is Rabbanus? What's the definition of Rabbanus? It means political leadership. So the Gemara says a person should hate a situation of political leadership. Because political leadership is something that takes away from a person's life. So you just can see, like I tell you, I mean, the Chazal aren't only concerned with a person's stature in Olam Abba. It's like the Rambam says, a person's stature in Olam Abba is not something that an individual should be concerned with directly. A person should be concerned, that you see in the Torah, not one thing is mentioned about Olam Abba. A person, that's not the proper motivation for mitzvahs. A person's, the proper motivation for mitzvahs is Olam Hazeh. That's the motivation. A person should try to live in the best possible way that he can live in this world. And if he does, then as a natural result, man, since man has an immortal part to his nature, so then he'll survive in the next world. But that should not be his purpose at all. It should not be his purpose. That's why Chazal talk over here about things, Lefisha Mekaveres is Baleha, because it takes away from his life. So what? A person should be willing to give up his life. You know, it's so I think, why is that a criterion that takes away from his life? What if he dies earlier? So what? The answer is, or Seinu Matanis Yichya. Seinu Matanis Yichya, Rashi says also that it takes away from his years. Why does it take away from his years? Because Rashi's saying that this principle that Chazal said, that a person's psyche has certain complexes, and certain situations can bring out certain complexes which are not good for him. It means that state of mind that is brought about when the reality acts upon the complex is one which is not beneficial to, him, like the dependency complex. So Chazal say that a person who takes matanos, why do they want to take matanos? Because taking matanos puts you in that frame of mind. That frame of mind is not good for you. It takes away from your years. You see? It takes away from your life. Plain and partial, takes away from your physical life. And the way a person should live is a way in which he has the best life in this world, because that's what the purpose of the mitzvahs are. And if it takes away from your life in this world, then it's not the best way. And the Chai Olam Abba is a natural result of living the best possible way in this world. So this world is also important. That's why the Gemara says, Snei Esar Abonis. Snei Esar Abonis.
Lefisha mekaveres is balea. What do I guess mekaveres balea so what? It's on the contrary, be muscle nefesh. Why, what does that prove? The answer is that it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for a person's life. So therefore, a person should not partake of it. Because something which is... Well, the Gemara says that a person's nature should be such that it should lead to a good life here. Now, anything which takes away from that is bad. All right. So Rashi says, "Snayas rabbanus walafim shekaveres is balel." All right. So what does Rashi mean? Mekaveres is balel. What does mekaveres is balel mean? What does mekaveres is balel mean? There is that it's a situation in which, plain and simple, it's a situation in which a person finds himself in a tremendously stressful state. Because in that situation, there are many, many things when you get involved with the human situation, and you're a political leader, so the considerations are such that you get pulled from different sides, and it's not a situation in which you could remove yourself and handle it in an abstract way. But it actually is one in which causes a person to have great emotional stress. Now, what do I mean? Because political leaders find themselves in a very stressful situation. So it takes away from his life. Why can't a person be a political leader that he handles it just like a person handles any other business? Relax, take it easy. Just consider what the right thing to do is logically, very coolly, and do it. Rashi's talking about a sincere leader. So what is in there? Why should he be mekaveres balel? Let him deal with it rationally, just like he'd be a philosopher. We're talking about a person that's a philosopher. So he should be able to handle it in a very cool way. Yeah?
What about that?
Oh, I'm sure he made decisions based upon a rationality. I mean, all the psukim show that. When the Torah said, "Ein chacham v'navon kamalcha," he couldn't get over such brilliance, such political acumen. So you see that he was a person that was a man that made decisions based upon Chachma. So very successful. Right? Started the first income tax. Maintain. Rashi says before that a person that is mispronounced from Kupashal Tzedakah, right, loses his time from his life. And that's why Chazal make that observation about Yosef HaTzadik, because they say, you see, he lost years from his life, so apparently this profession is not a good one. So he's saying why? Because in both of them you have a tremendous dependency on the people. But the question is, why is that considered a dependency on the people, really? Because everything, and you could say every situation is dependency upon people. I can understand where I take tzedakah. So tzedakah, that's exactly... That really is a repetition it's an imitation of the early situation in life where you take sustenance from your parents. You're duplicating it exactly. So that really is that's a dependent situation. But over here, a leader really doesn't feel like he's taking tzedakah. On the contrary, he feels that he's a great leader. He's doing a service just like a person who's the head of a corporation. So you also depend on people. Anything, you always depend on people. Anything you do, you depend on people. I don't think there's any profession in the world you're not dependent on anybody. Because you have to please somebody. So what difference is there between this one and that? You're offering a service. People are very happy with your service. They're paying for your service. They give you a position. They give you honor. That's not dependency. On the contrary, that would seem to be leadership. I think it starts with one thing, one phenomenon in man. You see, one philosopher one time said, he said Aristotle's original definition was that man is a rational animal. So he said that you really can't say that man is a rational animal if you take a look at the way people act. Doesn't seem too rational. So he said, I'd rather change that phrase. Instead of saying man is a rational animal, he said, I'd say man is a metaphysical animal. What does that mean?
that means that a person, every person, has his own philosophical system, and which it's impossible for him to avoid. See, people say that everybody's an expert in politics and religion. Why is everybody an expert in politics and religion? Why is he willing to admit that he doesn't have any knowledge in medicine or in science or in physics or in law? That he's willing to admit. But when it comes to politics and religion, every person, you can go around the city, you'll find many people who are convinced that they, if only people would realize that they, that they'd be, make them the, put them in the position of the leader of the country, they would accept it. They wouldn't even be surprised if people appoint them and say, how come it took so long to get here? I've been doing this for years already. See? So what's the pshat? Why is that so? Because every individual thinks that in that area he's capable. Why is he capable in that area? Because a person by nature has to be a philosopher. Whatever he does, he has to abide by some philosophy. Even if he gets up in the morning and he goes to work, so he has to maintain. That's a good thing to do. Otherwise, why are you doing it? It's impossible for him to avoid that idea. Or even if he decides to do nothing. And that itself is, and that's the right thing to do nothing. Because a person has a part of his mind which insists upon the fact that he, whatever he does, falls into some pattern that he understands and that he considers to be good. He has an idea of the good. An animal does not have any idea of the good. A human being has an idea of the good. That's why all the philosophers always say, well, what is the good? What does it mean, what is the good? The good means that which there is some idea that a person has in his mind, with which he lives constantly, that there is a concept of good. It's implanted in his mind. And whatever he does revolves around that. See? That is a person's, that's inherent in a person's nature. See? Now, therefore, whatever he does, he has to maintain has a value. He has to live by a value system. He can't negate the value system. It's impossible for a person to negate the value system. Even if he should say, I don't want to accept the value system. That itself is what he's saying. That itself is a value. The man is constructed in a way that there's no way that he can avoid being a philosopher. It's impossible. Because it's a part of his mind that he can't get away from. So therefore, since a person finds himself in such a situation, every human being has to be operating by some type of a philosophy, no matter what it is. Now, it's obvious that every human being isn't capable of formulating abstract philosophies, but nevertheless, he has to operate with some philosophy at the time, no matter what. So an intelligent individual will function based upon what we'll say. What should a person who doesn't have the knowledge, but yet he's intelligent in the sense that he's not a fool, will say, well, I'll rely on those who have more knowledge than me in the area of philosophy. That's the system of Chazal, that those who are more knowledgeable are the leaders of the people. The ones who are less knowledgeable abide by their decisions, because they recognize that they do not have any knowledge and they do not have an understanding of the area. But that itself, of course, is a decision, and that itself is a philosophy. And he has to be convinced, whoever does that must be convinced that that is the proper thing to do. Now, most people's decisions are usually based upon some emotions. Because very few people are capable of turning their mind on their emotions. That's a process that we don't find too often in life. That's a process that only individuals who have risen to a higher level can undergo. It's a different type of process, and it's a different type of life. It means a person has to turn the mind on his emotions. And most people don't do that. Most people, the mind is controlled by the emotions. So therefore, their decisions are very closely related to their emotional feelings, which they don't understand. But that's the way they live. Now, that's why you'll find that people get into very heated arguments about these areas. Why can't they discuss it in a cool, calm way? Because in these areas, politics is an area of how a person should live, what's the best thing for the society.
each person, insofar as he's a part of the society, has to make some has to have some idea about how he'd like to live, what he wants to do, what his way of life is. Must be, must have come to some decision. He's living, he's doing, he has to. Same thing in the area of religion. It's also a necessity that he comes to some conclusion. Either it's good, it's not good, which religion is right, what to do. He has to do something. He has no choice. Either he's religious or he's not religious. If he's religious, then he has to choose a certain religion. He has to make some decision. Now, the decision comes from, generally speaking, comes from his emotions. So, and it's very important to him that he should think that what he's doing is correct. You see, because after all, he loves himself, he loves his life, and he can't believe that something like this, which is the most important thing, his whole life revolves around it, should be nothing. So he has to have a lot of emotion involved there. And when he sees others disagree with him, it gets very upsetting. Especially people who are not on a very high level, they it becomes a threat to them. Because if they see other people that maintain the opposite way, and a certain number of people maintain differently than they do, so they start wondering maybe it's wrong what they're doing. So they get very excited, or any arguments, get into heated debates. The reason why they respond that way is because they realize their very life depends upon these conclusions. And that's how they live their life, according to the way that they decide is best, partakes of the good. That's the way they live their life. And this is very important to them. Now, since that is the case, I think that's really the crux of the situation. That's really where the problem lies. Since that is the case, any person who sets himself up as a leader has to contend with people who, everyone who is under him, who also have to have ideas in this area. They must have ideas in this area. Now, and they must be convinced about the ideas they have in this area. You see? However, a person who's the head of a corporation doesn't have this type of a situation. A person who's the head of a corporation is the head of General Motors. Not everybody maintains they can run General Motors. And they agree. So they defer to him. So this person has the knowledge. I don't. I'm business. A person who's working in real estate. Not everybody says they have knowledge of real estate. I don't know anything about houses. I have no idea. Properties, nothing. So, a person, your expertise in the area can be recognized. You see, if you're a person that's successful, you can show that you're an expert in the area, so people will be willing to accept you. And you're free to function in your area according to the way that your mind tells you is best. However, this is not the case in a political area. Because in a political area, you're dealing with a situation where every individual considers himself an expert in the field. He has to be an expert. Because otherwise, he couldn't live from day to day. Or he'd have to admit that the way I'm living is completely false, completely erroneous. You see, you are the expert. You know how to live properly. I have no idea about it. That nobody could say. If a person would say that, that would be the most dangerous, fearful idea would be confronting him. Namely, that he's just wasting his life, living improperly. That he couldn't tolerate that. So therefore, that I think is the essential difference between the political situation and any other situation. So, how does that cause the leader to have put him in a stressful situation? How does that put him in a stressful situation? The answer is, well, you can see right away, immediately, the complications themselves lead to stress, because he's dealing with a bunch of experts. So, but yes. His ego's constantly being challenged. Yeah? The line is like this, I think. A person who is dealing with experts in every area, I mean, that's with his position, so he has to come to a conclusion like this. These people really don't know what is best for them. Obviously, I mean, I'm the leader. I have to make the decision. They don't know. Yet they think that they know what's best. Right? So he has to be sensitive, completely sensitive to their assessment and evaluation. You see? He has to, in other words, yes, what he has to do is he has to realize what they want, and he has to be able to bring about what really is good in spite of the fact that that might not be what they want. And he has to work out how to do that. That alone, I mean, is a situation which is very stressful. The practicality of the situation is a very stressful one, because he doesn't have a simple job of just bringing about a desired result. It's not enough to bring about the desired result. He has to bring about a desired result in a way that the individuals who are his subjects think that that's in line with what they want. Okay? Now, this requires also, of course, that he be sensitive to their way of thinking. So what he has to do is, he has to place himself under their mental framework. And anyone who doesn't have that sensitivity cannot be a leader. It's impossible. A person who's a totally rational individual cannot be a leader. The totally rational individual just looks at a situation in a rational way. He has no idea about the emotions of his subjects, the people who are under him. And he just tells them, this is a rational thing to do there. What's the problem? Right? Doesn't understand. A person who is a leader is an individual who must understand the way the people think, the foolish way of thinking. He has to understand it, has to be sensitive to it, and he has to be able to perceive the emotional basis, you see, to be able to intuitively sense the emotional basis. I don't even think a good psychologist would be good, a good psychoanalyst. It'll take him 6 months till he gets to the conclusion as to why people are doing things, you know what I mean? You have to have a sensitivity. He has to pick it up intuitively, right? So he has to always have his feelers out, trying to sense what they want. And because it's not enough just to sense what they want, there are ramifications too. Let's say people say we want this. But if you don't understand the mental framework, the mentality with which they're operating, you don't understand. You might hear what they're saying, but you don't see the ramifications. He has to be able to perceive the mental framework from which they're operating. Happens is that the leader has to be completely sensitive to the people, you see. So really the truth of the matter is when his function to bring about the desired result has to, his mental framework has to be such, he has to bring about the desired result, he has to be sensitive to their emotional framework, and he has to be able to bring it about in a way that it seems to them that it's in line with what they think, it has to be in line with their emotional framework. There's no other way you can do it. Now, the truth of the matter is, what Danny mentioned before is true also, that is why really the Rabbonus, as high as a position as the individual has, he still is mentally in a dependent type of situation. Why? Because his concern has to always be for his concern. He always has to be concerned as to whether or not he's satisfying the people that he's leading. So in a sense, really, he's always under their domination. He's always under their domination. Well, he has to listen to what they want. That's the dominating factor, because otherwise he can't rule them. And if he goes against the public opinion, he'll be overthrown. Even if he's a king, he'll throw him over. So what he has to do is listen to them, and he has to try to bring about the results in line with their desires. Because since everyone maintains that they are really true ideas, so it has to be in their framework. The truth of the matter is, he's completely subservient to them. He is completely subservient to them. He has to operate in a subservient type of mentality, you see. Because his very goal is to bring about something that's in line with their desires. So who is really in his mind, in his mental framework, who is the leader? The people are the leader. Because that's the nature of the position. The nature of the position is such that inherently the people are the leader. So he says completely subservient to them. And that is why it's a situation in which there is a tremendous stress, because he's trying to bring about a leadership, a leadership situation, whereas he has to abide and be subservient to their mentality. He has to perceive the mentality. He's constantly trying to perceive the mentality and make sure that everything's in line with what they want. Whereas a leader in another situation doesn't have any complications. Just what do I do? And he does it. So that mentality, that framework where a person is under the pressure of others, where he has to be concerned with everything he does, if it's in line with their way of thinking.